Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brad Young in for Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Thank you for being with us. Hour two of three, Chris and Amy show 9 to noon. Every weekday on KMOX. Time to go to the guest line today. Again, as we speak to Representative Jeff Farnan from Missouri's 1st District, as the Missouri House and Senate, they have begun filing some legislation, and they did so this week for the upcoming legislative session, because there are some proposals about rules for artificial intelligence. Amy and I have talked a ton about AI, and it has been a massive topic over the last several years. The promise of it, the dangers of it, and there's just so much that goes into it. So we want to bring in Representative Farnan, who is a Republican in the 1st District, who joins us now on KMOX. We appreciate your time, Representative. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being with us. So, as we know, there are a bunch of lawmakers, both Republicans and Democrats in House and Senate, who are behind the measures to regulate, I guess is a good word, for artificial intelligence because of the dangers of it. So explain to us precisely what it is you want to do or what you want to see happen.
Well, my bill is kind of started, or it's ended up different than what it originally started out to be. The reason I'm doing this bill was my uncle had a phone call from his grandson who said that he had been arrested and was in jail and he needed money for bail. He needed like $5,000. But my uncle told him, he said, well, call your mom and dad. And he said, no, I can't. He said, they'll get mad at me. So anyway, he convinced him to go to the bank and to get $5,000 and send it to him to so he could get out. Well, fortunately, the bank tellers, they knew this was a scam, but it was hard to convince this guy or my uncle that this was a scam because this sounded just exactly like his grandson. Now, I don't know how they got his grandson's voice and how they, you know, duplicated it, but this was the reason I'm writing this bill, because I think there's a lot of scamming going on with this, you know, new form of AI where you can actually make a deep fake and, you know, pretend to be somebody that you're not. But so when I was writing the bill and doing the research, a lot of it turned out to be, you know, probably going to be against the First Amendment, you know, the freedom of speech. So the bill's kind of taken a different turn now to mostly it's going to deal with sexual content on the internet. So that's kind of where the bill is at right now.
So this bill is HB 2035, correct?
Well, you know what? I filed it yesterday, or I actually okay. Signed the bill earlier. My LA had turned it in, so I do not know the actual number of it.
Okay. Yes. So this one is listed on your name, under your name. It's
I'm HB, sure it is.
HB 2035, and it was pre-filed on the 1st of December.
Yeah.
So is it, you still are interested, even though this is going after sexually explicit material now, you are still interested in these phone scams, correct?
Oh, most definitely. I think they're just horrible what they're doing to these older people.
Well, I wanted to follow up, Representative Farnan, it's Brad Young here, and I've read through HB 2035, and it also seems to cover deepfakes and AI-generated text or imagery. How big of an issue, other than the circumstance and the situation that you described, other than that, how big of an issue do you see AI being moving forward?
Well, don't get me wrong. I think AI is a great tool that we use every day, probably even without realizing we use it. But, you know, with that, there always comes the other side of it where people take advantage of it and try to take advantage of other people with these AI technologies. So the biggest problem I see right now is, yes, someone could make a deep fake of, you know, some young person and put it out on the internet. But the problem is how we're going to catch that person. We can make laws to, you know, stop it, or, you know, to, you know, make it illegal, but how do we actually stop it? So that's the problem I see going forward. But, you know, this is the first step. I think it's a good one. It's a place to get started.
Well, when you talk about enforcement being an issue, one of the things in your bill, as I've read through the bill, one of the things indicates that there are special rules for political ads and election-related content. And one of the things that's in this bill is a mandatory labeling of AI-generated material that's used in political campaigns. That's something that is enforceable, right? If there's a political campaign, we know that advertising has to be associated with a specific group. So is that one way that there can be some small amount of enforcement when you apply it to political ads and election-related content?
Yes, that's correct, because, you know, who is going to do it but your opponent? You know, I don't know. There could be other groups out there that would try to smear your name, but most likely it's going to come from your opponent.
So we are visiting with Jeff Farnan, representative from Missouri's 1st District, and talking about artificial intelligence. And we know that with the technology, the voice recreation technology, they only need about 10 seconds of your voice, of you speaking, to be able to recreate that and potentially fool somebody, like what the story that you were talking about earlier.
Right.
From a state perspective, I mean, how much teeth can a bill really have? Does this need to be more of in your opinion, a federal effort, not just state to state?
Well, I think that, you know, Missouri is only one of three states that don't have any deep fake laws. So I think this is a good place to start. So say we do catch somebody with this bill, it would also allow the victim to get compensated through a civil action. So I think that's a good, you know, maybe step in the right direction to prevent some of this from going on.
Representative, though, what, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, but I want to circle back to this. Isn't there a potential here for enormous First Amendment problems? In other words, if someone is creating or generating content, particularly if it's not the type of content that's being used to scam or defraud people, but they're simply using this AI content to create certain types of content, don't you see First Amendment problems with this bill?
Yeah, I do. And that was actually the problem that we ran into, because, you know, if you're ever on like Facebook Reels or TikTok, there's all sorts of this out there where, you know, say Patrick Mahomes is saying, hey, my offensive line is trash. You know, he's not saying that, but you have to be smart enough to.
I think he could. I think he could say that. I'm not saying he did, but he certainly could.
But he probably wouldn't be saying.
No, he probably wouldn't. But he could.
He could.
Poor Patrick Mahomes. He can never catch a break.
But yeah, I know that there. You know, a lot of it is for entertainment, and it's fun to listen to it. But you have to be smart enough to know what is real and what isn't real. And that's the problem. It's just becoming so advanced that it is hard to tell if it's real or not. So, you know, I'm just trying to do something that will, you know, maybe prevent some of it.
So under your bill, as I've read through it, I see that the Missouri Attorney General is authorized to investigate violations. So to some extent, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Representative, but you're creating a legal framework to prosecute in situations where it mandates or should require a prosecution. But aren't you also basically empowering the Attorney General's office to have some discretion about when do we prosecute, when it's a harmless something that would be covered under the First Amendment versus AI that's being used to harm people?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what we want it to do.
We are talking to Representative Jeff Farnan out of Missouri's 1st District here on KMOX. How much support do you have, and how much support do you have that might be bipartisan?
That's a good question. You know, I just made this bill up myself, you know, and through research, and just it was just an idea that I had. But since I've, since my LA filed it for me the other day, I've had several calls on it. Hey, we support this idea. And it hasn't been, you know, I have several Democratic friends down there, and I've had a couple of them reach out to me and say, hey, yes, we think this is a good idea. We've heard of the same stories. Hopefully this bill will help take a bite out of some of that.
Well, Tennessee, Representative, I know you're probably aware of this. Tennessee was really leading the country when it comes to trying to protect music artists from AI-generated content. Lots of lawsuits are filed there. There was one filed there last week by the Johnny Cash estate over an ad that sounds like Johnny Cash is singing in the background of a soda commercial. But would your bill here in Missouri, would that cover also copyright infringement cases, or would it be strictly designed to stop fraud and misuse from that perspective?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not for sure about the copyright issue. It's more for fraud, and that was my intent of the bill, was for, you know, like my uncle's case.
How many stories like this are you hearing about? I've read about a lot of them, but personally, are people reaching out to you?
Yeah, and it's not more that they're reaching out to me. It's just that they have their own stories, or they've told me their stories, not realizing I was doing this bill. But even my mom, you know, she'll sit down and she'll watch TikTok or something, and she'll phone me and she said, hey, you know, so-and-so said this. Is this true or not? And I said, no, Mom, that's not true. I mean, just think about it. You know, it's not true. So, I think it's a really, I don't know. There's just a lot of it out there.
Well, Jeff Farnan, we know that the legislative session, and this is according to the Missouri House website, the effective date for this would be August of next year if everything does work out the way you want it to. We assume there might be some tweaks along the way, as there usually are. But we'd like you to keep us updated on this, because I know that our audience is interested in it, and a lot of people are around the country, because it is a real, actual problem.
I agree 100%, and I'd be glad to keep you updated.
Jeff Farnan, representative from Missouri's District 1, we appreciate your time. Thank you for being with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So that is Jeff Farnan joining us. And again, that it's House Bill 2035. It's not going to be the only one. I mean, there are going to be all sorts of bills like this introduced.
There are a lot of them. In fact, I looked over a lot of them. There's some that are rather ridiculous, actually, stating that AI cannot be considered a person under the law. I don't think that's an issue. We're not going to have data from Star Trek walking around anytime soon.
I don't know, man. Corporations are people. So.
Well, that's true. So there's a lot of those. But this bill, I think, is focused on the malicious use of AI. But think about this very briefly. Remember 20 years ago, how many primarily older folks were fooled by emails saying, I'm a Nigerian prince
and I want to
deposit $10 million in your bank account?
This is much more sophisticated.
This is exponentially more damaging and malicious, because you're seeing Patrick Mahomes saying, my offensive line is terrible, and you can believe it, right? So this is exponentially more difficult, but I agree with you. I think if the states are all legislating this differently, that's going to create a hodgepodge of problems, and really it needs to be addressed from the federal level.
I have always, and we've talked about this, Amy and I, we've talked about this a ton, have a code word with your family. Have some sort of code word with your mom or your dad that if they get a phone call from presumably you and saying, hey, I've been arrested, I need you to, and it's from a number you don't recognize,
right?
Send $10,000 or whatever. Give me a code word. Come up with something that only you would know with your family, just to make absolutely sure. And I would even go as far as to say, even if it's a number that you do recognize, because there is a way to spoof numbers.
Yeah, but even in the absence of that, for example, if families don't plan ahead and have a code word, even in the absence of that, if someone calls and says, I've been arrested, I need money, you can still ask that person, hey, just to make sure you are who you say you are, tell me something that nobody else would know.
Sure.
Even if you haven't arranged for a secret password in advance, you could still ask them, tell me a story about something that only you would know about. And that would be a way to help bypass the scammers.
That's Brad Young. I'm Chris Ranji. At 10:30, we're going to talk to Andrew Egger, White House correspondent for The Bulwark. Normally, he's with us on Monday, but had to reschedule. We're going to talk to him coming up in just a little bit. Brad Young and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Chris and Amy's show with Brad Young and Chris Ranji today. Andrew Egger joins us in just a little bit. And Brad, I know that you've been following the story of the boat strikes that have been ordered by the United States military, in particular Pete Hegseth, who is the Secretary of Defense for the United States. And he has sort of in the last week or so had to defend what are being called the double tap strikes, which, in, just to explain that, it is a missile strike on a boat, and maybe it is semi-effective, and there are still some survivors on the boat. In one case, hanging off the side of the boat, they are no longer armed, and then they fire again to completely destroy the boat. And there's some legality that might be at play here, some issues legally.
There are some issues, and I've got to tell you, personally, I like the idea of stopping people from entering our country with drugs. I'm in favor of stopping the flow of fentanyl into our country. However, as I look at this from a legal perspective, there's several things that jump out. First of all, it's a specific violation. We've all heard of the Geneva Convention. It's a specific violation of the Geneva Convention for doing that double tap. When there are survivors there, you're not allowed to kill the survivors. You're allowed to strike the boat. You're allowed to strike a tank. But in the absence of a time of war, you cannot kill the survivors. And that's not just the Geneva Convention, because under federal law, 18 U.S.C. 2441, the United States recognizes the terms of the Geneva Convention and has codified that as law. So it literally it violates federal law by doing that. But it also pertains to a greater issue, which is that in the absence of a military action or a time of war, the military is not empowered under federal law to enforce law. All right. Only the Coast Guard can do that when it comes to drug smuggling. And even the Coast Guard has rules regarding you can't just blow up a drug boat. You have to arrest them. You have to prosecute them. You have to bring them into custody. You don't just fire a Hellfire missile at the boat and blow it up because under police power, you have to arrest them, not kill them.
Yeah, there is a pretty big difference between stopping a boat and a missile strike.
Correct.
Stopping the people on the boat and prosecuting.
And again, as I've talked about this with folks, I've had people say, oh, are you in favor of these people bringing drugs into our country? No,
that's a bad argument.
I'm not in favor of that, all right? But when federal law is very specific, number one, the act of blowing up boats in of itself is questionable. But secondly, the double tap that we've talked about here today is specifically in violation of federal law. I do have a problem with that.
And even in times of war, once you're talking about unarmed soldiers, and these aren't soldiers, these are drug runners.
Correct.
Potential. We don't even know if all of them are. That's the assumption is that they all are.
I think that's a safe assumption because fishermen aren't
not necessarily
aren't in cigarette boats going 100 miles an hour.
Well, I'd like to see proof first. I mean, they're just going to tell us that that's what it is. I don't trust all of that.
We've
seen
the video. We've seen the video, and the video clearly shows drug running boats. Fishermen don't use drug running boats. So I don't have a problem with that. My problem is legally it violates several laws of the United States. And I don't think the Pentagon should be doing that.
Sure. But I don't trust. We've seen one video. We've seen a couple. We don't know all of them. I do not trust that every one of these boat strikes is on the up and up. I'm sorry, I just don't.
Well, not with this
department.
You and I disagree on that. I think the boats are they're drug runners because that's easy to tell from the video, but it still violates law. Even if we assume that they are,
it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is accurate.
It violates law
that if these people are no longer armed, you can't just kill them, even in times of war. We talked to Jeff McCausland about this yesterday, who happens to be an expert in the military.
Yes.
He's a retired colonel. And he told us that it's not, and this is intuitive, this is something that you should be thinking of ahead of time, which tells me that this department does not really care. But they should be thinking about things like, we want our prisoners to be treated well by other countries if they are taken. So we set the example. We treat prisoners correctly because guess what? If we don't, it will be taken out on our service members when they are prisoners.
Absolutely accurate. Yes.
That is right. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Andrew Egger, White House correspondent for The Bulwark, also a St. Louis native. He will join us when we come back on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Chris and Amy's show, but today Brad Young is in for Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. It is time to go back to the guest line today. Normally, we talk to Andrew Egger on Mondays. We had to reschedule, and we've got him today, the White House correspondent for The Bulwark and co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter and St. Louis. And Andrew Egger is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Andrew?
Hey, guys. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you, and we were just talking about those boat strikes, which have become a really big topic of conversation over the last couple of weeks, and the legality of them has been of concern. We've seen a little bit of bipartisan concern, Rand Paul being one of those four example who has some concern about what's going on there, and Pete Hegseth has faced a little more scrutiny over this lately. So where do we stand on this, and is there going to be any sort of repercussions against him, or will they continue to operate as they have been?
Yeah, so basically where we're at is there's certainly a lot of concern to be had about these boat strikes, and the question is just how much, right? There have been these longstanding concerns from you know, war law experts that these strikes, that these, you know, sort of somewhat indiscriminate and certainly sort of like unwarned strikes off the coast, in these boats off the coast of Venezuela, which the administration says are targeting narcotics smuggling, that they are questionably legal in a lot of different ways, as opposed to the old strategy of interdicting these boats, arresting the people on board, having them stand trial in the United States. So those concerns have been ongoing for months. What has really ratcheted this up just in the last week or so was this piece of reporting from the Washington Post last week that suggested in one particular strike, the vessel was hit. It was, you know, bombed in the way that we've become accustomed to these things happening, but that there was actually a follow-up strike, a double tap strike. Supposedly, the Washington Post's reporting suggested to target survivors who were still in the water. So if that were true, that would be an enormous escalation of you know, concern here, going from this sort of like gray legal area where the White House doesn't necessarily have a lot of legal authority to stand on, tipping over, you know, a pretty stark red line into likely war crimes. Now, the question is just whether that is in fact true. And there's been some reporting to kind of shade at the other direction from places like the New York Times that said maybe the second strike was not intended to go after the survivors. Maybe it was intended to cripple, you know, continue to cripple the vessel that was being struck in the first place. Secretary Hegseth has denied that he was kind of personally authorized in making that second strike, that he had kind of moved on to other matters in the Pentagon by the time the second strike went down. So there's a lot of questions remaining and a lot of sort of unanswered questions, and obviously questions about whether whose narrative is true here. But that real escalation is what has gotten a lot of new Republicans, in addition to people like Rand Paul, who have been criticizing these operations all along. You got guys like, you know, Senator Roger Wicker, who chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee, you know, really kind of spooked by that initial Washington Post report. So the Pentagon has had to kind of scramble to assuage these concerns, even from Republicans who had not been, you know, so publicly concerned about these strikes in the past.
Andrew, Brad Young here. And as I've looked at this from a legal enforcement issue, Only Congress can really challenge the legality of what the Pentagon is doing. Regular citizens can't do it. Obviously, the Trump administration isn't going to prosecute itself. So the only way that anything can happen is from Congress. And up until now, there's really been no political movement in Congress to look at these drone strikes, or not drone strikes, but ship strikes, until now. So do you see the winds of change occurring in Congress in terms of having a bipartisan desire to look into the legality of these strikes in general and the legality of the so-called double tap in particular?
Yeah, so that's the open question right now, right? I mean, now that this door has been sort of kicked open by some of this reporting, the thing that we're all just sort of waiting to see is whether not just sort of like random, no offense to Rand Paul, but like random senators who have these sort of like civil libertarian, you know, leanings, or this independent streak or whatever. I mean, it's one thing if guys like that start talking, you know, criticizing this stuff. The administration doesn't like that. The much more like concerning development from the point of view of the Pentagon, from the point of view of the administration, would be for these pretty powerful oversight committees to start really taking a look at these things. And that is why it is so significant that guys like Wicker have made these sorts of concerns plain. Now, Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, said yesterday he's spoken to Wicker about these sort of things just in the last few days. According to Hegseth, they had a good conversation and he was able to assuage some of Wicker's concerns. So I think that's what we're all kind of waiting to see is you know, this is a new line from the administration. Literally just yesterday, did they acknowledge that this double tap strike had occurred and that you know, and they kind of like laid out their narrative for how that all went down in terms of the chain of command and who authorized what and all those sorts of things. And so we're, like I said, we're kind of waiting to see whether these like particularly powerful entities in both the House and the Senate find those explanations compelling and sufficient, or whether they're going to actually, you know, yank some people in for testimony and hold their feet to the fire a bit here.
Andrew Egger from The Bulwark is with us on KMOX. And we saw the election yesterday in Tennessee's congressional 7th district, which was the president paid a lot of attention to it. I know Republicans have been. And you couple that election, even though the Republican candidate did win, it wasn't a huge margin, which is probably the story here, coupling that with the elections from a few weeks ago, where Democrats won up and down the board in various states around the country. So we're all trying to figure out what that means in a forecast for the midterms, if anything, because we are still, you know, just under a year away from that. So what do you believe it means?
Yeah, these special election stories are always so funny because they're all about expectations, right? And you know, on the some Democrats had sort of talked themselves into perhaps allowing themselves secretly, or not so secretly, to hope that Afton Ben would, who's the, you know, the Democratic state lawmaker who was challenging in this very red district, might actually be able to squeak out a win here. And there was some polling to suggest maybe the race was within the margin of error. Maybe that like kind of shock outcome could happen. That didn't happen. Republican Matt Van Epps won the race by about 9 points, which is, you know, The Republicans are obviously very happy about that, the kind of like break glass in case of emergency scenario of a Democratic win there, which could in theory have kicked off a wacky set of events by which Mike Johnson could actually lose the speaker's gavel in the current Congress. That's probably not happening at this point. So like the like dream scenario for Democrats is out of here. That said, there are some real warning lights flashing here about this race in particular for Republicans going into the midterms. Obviously, this is a significant underperformance, about a 13-point underperformance from where this district was in last year's presidential election for the Republicans. They lost about 13 points of ground. And that is happening despite the fact that this Democrat really did not try very hard to kind of triangulate toward the center. Even in this very red district, she had a lot of kind of baggage, you know, defund the police type rhetoric, you know, from a few years ago in her past that did not necessarily make her like the strongest candidate to compete here. And you still see that underperformance for the Republican. The other element of this is that, you know, Democrats have been doing really well in a lot of these special elections, but there was sort of an open question whether this is just like a weird relic of really low turnout races that would sort of evaporate once we get into the higher turnout environment of the midterms. And what this race last night seemed to suggest is that that is not true, that the Democratic advantage relative to last year has a little more staying power than that, because this was a pretty high turnout, a quite high turnout, actually, sort of like midterms level, midterms environment type race. And so you, with the dust settling from this, you still see a sort of normie Republican with a military background, you know, Trumpy in the normal vein of being Trumpy these days in the Republican Party, losing a lot of ground relative to this sort of, you know, progressive-y, defund the police type state lawmaker on the Democratic side. And if that is replicable here in sort of the Nashville area, then it is probably replicable in a lot of congressional districts across the country if we're in a similar political environment next year.
Well, Andrew, to follow up on your point there, isn't there a danger here by reading too much or trying to read too much into these special elections? I mean, for example, a Democrat won in New Jersey and people said, oh, look, it shows you that the Trump administration is losing popularity. Well, it's New Jersey and a Democrat won. You look at Virginia and a Democrat won. Virginia is now certainly been more of a blue state than a red state in recent years. And in this instance, isn't it too much when we try to look at these as tea leaves foretelling future problems for Republicans in general and Trump in particular? And could it be just the fact that turnout, I know you said turnout was higher, but I guess I'm just trying to get at this question. Do we risk reading too much into these special elections?
So, yes, you're 100% right that all this stuff is provisional. It's all just kind of like, you know, the small pieces of data that we have now. You know, next year there's going to be an election in every congressional district in the country all at once, right? And that's going to have a lot more of a, you know, we'll learn a lot more than we have learned so far this year, just by nature of the animal, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. That said, I think that the specific thing that people have drilled down on in some of these races that they have found may be, again, this is all sort of hypothetical. It's all trying to read tea leaves. But that seems like it could have some sticking power is that a lot of the particular coalitions that Donald Trump made real inroads with in 2024, which people were kind of surprised by. I mean, it sort of seemed like Trump was a known commodity by then. But last year in his race against Kamala Harris, he picked up a lot of young people that he had not picked up in either of his previous presidential campaigns. He picked up a lot of minority voters, you know, things like this. He built out a kind of new coalition last year. And what we have seen so far, again, and like you say, just these very small snapshots of data that we're getting out of these races, is that there has been a pretty significant snapback among a lot of those same coalitions. You have young voters, minority voters, these same people who got a little Trump curious in 2024, kind of reverting and moving back away from him again in these small spaces. So if that becomes replicable, you know, these are trends that we've seen, yes, in mostly blue areas, or you know, not all blue areas, that we're seeing them now in you know, this red district in Tennessee too. We saw them in Virginia, which currently has a Republican legislature. Republican governor. So it's less about like specific outcomes and more about these trend lines that, again, if they continue, and all the year's a long time, a lot can change politically in a year, but if we end up in a similar environment next year, could spell bad news for Republicans.
I'm interested in the politics of this next story, and that is there's been a little bit of attention paid to the president in a cabinet meeting this week, appearing to doze off a little bit, just, you know, slightly, when during the last administration, there was it was wall-to-wall coverage of how old Joe Biden is and how sleepy Joe is at the helm. And now you've got the president who's kind of, again, looking like he's falling asleep in these meetings. Why does it not have the same traction, even though it's the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, some of these things have, they acquire their own momentum, right? Like for Joe Biden, for better or worse, he lost control of that narrative completely, right? I mean, like when people thought about Joe Biden, they thought about Joe Biden being old. And that becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because every time you see another one of these things, it goes right on the pile. It's like, well, there's Joe Biden. He's really darn old. And that's the kind of thing that you can't really like root out of anybody's brain, because he's not getting any younger, right? None of us are. Trump, for better or worse, has presented in sort of a different way. People read him differently. You know, it's all the makeup and the hairstyling and stuff that makes him present first and foremost as this crazy guy named Donald Trump that's just kind of a fixture in all of our brains, which I would argue, at least this is the way it has seemed to me, has kind of helped him in this particular respect with the age question. He's not an old guy. He's Donald Trump, right? That sort of like weird psychological thing there. That said, he's getting pretty old too. He's going to be 80. You know, Joe Biden's older than he is, but by the time Trump leaves office, he'll be the oldest president of all time. And so, you know, these things certainly don't help. With this specific thing, it's kind of a funny story because there is a like proximate cause for why Trump appears to have been nodding off in this cabinet meeting, and it is because he was up on Truth Social basically all night the night before. He posted like 120 things. So, like, you know,
exactly
that's
what a president should be doing on Truth Social all night,
right? I've stayed up too late on social media and been sleepy the next day too.
You're not the president
to make that just yes.
You're supposed to be. You're at a media outlet. That's your job.
I know, I'm lashed to the wheel. Yeah.
That's it. It's just I'm fascinated by it and how narratives shape and form and then just solidify.
You're 100% right. It is. I mean, if you're a Team Biden guy, there's plenty of grumbling to be done about that sort of thing. Even if you're not Team Biden, of how people process these stories.
Yeah. Well, appreciate it as always, Andrew Egger. We will talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Andrew Egger, White House correspondent on The Bulwark, co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter, and you should subscribe to that. Brad Young, Chris Ranji, this is the Chris and Amy Show. We hope you're having a great day. I think the roads are perfectly clear now.
Yeah, they're
well, I mean, most of them.
Mostly.
Yeah. So you shouldn't be out there slipping and sliding, and if you are, it's your fault.
Absolutely.
It's not MoDOT's fault this time. But
that's right. But what happens if they're all self-driving vehicles? We're going to be talking in the next hour about how do we deal with Waymo coming to Missouri. Stick around. We'll be talking about that in the next hour right here on KMOX.
Hey, I just saw this note, Brad Young, just now saw it from Fox Sports PR.
Yes.
Remember how we were talking about those Thanksgiving Day games, the football games, NFL?
Yes, yes.
And everybody was talking about the it was the Chiefs game.
Yes, it was.
That took place. That they said was going to be the most watched game ever. Well,
and
how about this? The Packers-Lions game, according to Fox Sports, is the most watched early Thanksgiving Day game ever. 47.7 million people watched it. It peaked between 3 and 3:15 our time. It peaked at almost 58 million people watching that show, game.
Well, that's where I'll quibble with you. How many were watching and how many were in a food coma from Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it's tough to say.
You know, the TVs were on.
Tough to say.
But how many were actually watching? You know, at my house, I told the guests at my house, I said, the food's free, but the napping rooms cost you $50.
Did anybody try to fall asleep at your place?
Yeah, they did. A couple of people fell asleep on the couch because we fed them too much.
So you went in there and kicked their feet and said,
no.
Get up.
I went in there and I said, hey, I need your credit card. That's what I said.
Anybody give it to you?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
No.
But I do appreciate you having everybody over.
Yeah, 30-something folks at my house. I smoked a turkey on the pellet grill. And
you ever fried one?
Never fried one.
Now, this is an interesting development. I have always heard that you 100% of the time need to fry your turkey outdoors away from the house.
Yes.
I saw multiple videos of people inside the home. And one person I know.
Oh, that's so stupid.
One person I know frying the turkey indoors.
Oh, that's so bad.
In the kitchen.
Yeah.
And all the comments were, what are you doing? You're not supposed to do that. And there were some other comments calling those people amateurs.
No.
Then, no, you're totally able to do it in the kitchen.
Not,
you just have to be.
Not at all. No, I don't care how many safeguards you have, that has to be done outside.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Anyone that tells you differently is wrong.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
Seems crazy, at least to me. Gas House Gang.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.